Wouldn't you think, after all the sex education and all the cultural shifts that have happened over the past 30 years, that most young people would know how to negotiate sex? Wouldn't you think that most girls and young women would be able to clearly communicate whether they want to proceed or not? And that boys and young men would easily understand that? Or indeed that guys might feel free not to have sex, if that's their preference? Well, it seems the pressures around sex are as strong as ever, and there are some pretty murky, unwritten rules. Anastasia Powell is the author of Sex, Power and Consent, a book about research she undertook with young Australians. She's a lecturer in sociology at the School of Social Sciences at La Trobe University, and she joins me now. Welcome to Life Matters, Anastasia.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. What was your overwhelming impression after doing this research?
I think the overwhelming thing, and the thing that I suppose both was unsurprising but also quite concerning to me, is just the level of pressured and unwanted sex, as well as sexual violence, that young women are still experiencing. We have had action on these issues for, you know, around 30 years, both in the law as well as in education. And unfortunately, we're still just not quite getting this message across, I suppose, about the importance of consent and that every sexual encounter should be consensual for both parties.
And you've talked to a lot with young people about this, haven't you, in all kinds of settings?
Yeah, that's right. So I've conducted interviews with just over 100 young people, primarily around Melbourne and rural Victoria, around their experiences of how they negotiate consent in their relationships.
And could you read some of their comments, perhaps that bit after you'd asked a group of 15 to 18-year-old girls how they respond to pressure to have sex?
Yeah, sure. So this is a group discussion, so there's a number of young women contributing here. It depends on the girl, because there are so many girls who succumb to the whole sexual pressure. Yeah, it's a really, really big problem for a lot of girls, awful, and that's like how the whole regret thing happens anyway. And then I asked them what kind of situations would girls be in where they felt like they might regret that afterwards. And they said drunk, or maybe with someone they usually wouldn't, or like a random person that you might have kissed and later they take you away. And it gets like that with a lot of girls. They go away and they feel so uncomfortable and they just want to turn and run, but then it's like, oh, she led me on. What can you do? Like, if you're already basically half naked, then, like, you know, how are you going to say no? If he's a good guy, what's the likelihood, really, of someone going, all right, I'll stop? And then in response to that, one of the other young women says, it's like if you're a girl, you really have to get your heel and stab the guy. I think definitely guys need that, because I just don't think that they know sometimes.
Oh dear, what are we hearing in those comments, do you think, Anastasia? They're definitely struggling with all this, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, for me, and these comments, the themes were repeated in a lot of discussions I had with, particularly with young women, where I think firstly they felt as though they didn't have control over their sexual encounter, that they felt like they didn't necessarily feel they'd be able to say no to something that they didn't want. But for me, I think what's more concerning is that they also, when it comes out in those quotes, they also felt like even if they say no, that's not necessarily going to be listened to or taken seriously. They feel like they're going to have to be prepared to back it up with quite an aggressive response in order to have it taken seriously. And I think that's just so concerning, that young women should be feeling that they don't have the right to say, no, I'm not comfortable with this, I don't want to go ahead with this encounter.
And this is despite all the education campaigns that say no means no.
Yes, that's right. And I think, unfortunately, there's obviously an importance to that message that no means no. But I think, importantly, we have to also have a conversation with young people that no is not the only thing that means no, that in fact, you know, there are ways, of course, that we might be able to tell that a partner might be a bit reluctant or might be a bit unsure about what they want in this encounter. And it's on both partners' responsibility to pay attention to that and to take it seriously.
That's interesting. And one of those quotes that you read to us mentioned alcohol. Does that blur the lines on consent?
Well, I think it's important to remember that, of course, the law is quite clear on this, that certainly if someone is affected by drugs or alcohol, to a point where they are unable to consent, then certainly that's sexual violence by definition. But unfortunately, I think young people don't necessarily understand, they're not necessarily reading the law, they don't necessarily understand just how serious that is. And that if they're both affected by drugs and alcohol, then maybe they need to think that, this might not be a consensual encounter and just take a step back.
Which is sort of counterintuitive to the way you think when you're drunk, really, isn't it?
Of course, yes. So that does present an issue.
Yes. The key thing you're looking at is this sort of continuum of experiences, aren't you, between gentle pressure. You're giving an impression, and some of those quotes give the impression of not an overt kind of compulsion to have sex with a guy, but a pressure that the girls feel, all the way to violent or forced sex.
Yeah, and this is something that I was quite struck by in my conversations with young women in particular, that, they sort of felt like, well, sexual assault is something that happens, by a stranger who might quite physically attack you. But what they were really concerned about was the kinds of things that happened in everyday situations, with young men that they knew, that might have been friends or acquaintances or even a boyfriend, trusted young men who they felt like they were safe with, and then suddenly things just seemed to be getting out of their control and going down a path that they didn't want to go down, and they didn't really know how to deal with that and respond to it. And this experience from young women really does reflect what we know about sexual violence more generally, which is that the situation of the stranger that physically attacks you, in the dark alley sorts of scenarios, is actually not the most common form of sexual violence. That in fact, these sort of subtle coercions and pressures by known men and trusted men is actually the most common form of sexual violence that women experience.
And the unwritten rule still seems to be that it's their role to please the man.
Absolutely, and I talk in my book really about this idea of the unwritten rules and the idea that there are things that men are seen as supposed to do in relationships and women are seen as supposed to do in relationships. And unfortunately, it still seems to be this really old stereotype that men want sex and it's women's job to give that to them and to make sure that they're pleased. And unfortunately, that's still the kind of pattern or the unwritten rules that young people are talking about today.
I'm speaking with Anastasia Powell. She's a sociologist at La Trobe University. Anastasia, what do boys say about all this?
Yeah, well, I spoke to both young men and young women in my research, and certainly I had some conversations with young men where they were quite concerned about instances that they'd known of where a friend of theirs, was talking about having gotten a girl drunk, for instance, in order to, giving her lots of alcohol in order to try and get her ready to have sex later in the evening. And so I think young men are engaging in these kinds of situations either themselves or with men that they know are not okay. But again, they're not sure, what to do about that or how can I say to someone that this isn't okay. And I think also we have to remember that there are pressures on men directly in the sense of these unwritten rules about what men are expected to do. And men do often, or the young men I spoke to, often did feel as though they had to be, scoring with women or getting up that sexual experience as something that proved that you were, a successful man.
A red-blooded Aussie male.
That's right. And I think that creates a pressure in of itself on young men to not necessarily think about the other factors they should be taking into account when they're looking at negotiating a sexual encounter.
And what do they say they want? What do they see as a solution, these young men?
Yeah, well, certainly I had some young men quite directly sort of say to me, look, why didn't anyone tell us when we were teenagers? I spoke to men into their early 20s, and they said, why didn't anyone tell us when we were teenagers that girls didn't always want it and didn't always want it the way we wanted it? Maybe then we would have thought, oh, hang on, do we have to have a conversation here? Do we have to actually work out what's going to happen in our sexual encounters? So I think that's really interesting, and it reflects what a lot of other young men and women said to me, which was that there really aren't many opportunities, even in sexuality education, to have a conversation about, what is going to happen in our sexual encounter, how do we work out what we want, what the other person wants, and have a conversation about that and work it out so that things don't get out of control.
So the concept of consent is often missing from sex education.
Yeah, and that's something that I think has been reflected not only in my own research, but a number of reviews on this issue in Victoria and in Australia recently, that sexual consent just hasn't really featured in sexuality education. It's tended to concentrate more on the nuts and bolts, so to speak, the biological aspects of reproduction and safe sex, but not actually on what consent means and actually how to do that in practice. You know, what are the things you might say to a partner if you're not sure that they're consenting, to make sure that it really is something that both people want.
And do you have any views on the role of pornography in influencing boys' and girls' expectations of sex today?
Well, I didn't actually ask young people about pornography at the time, and of course now this is something that's been in the media a lot. Certainly I think we know from other research that young people are encountering pornographic material, particularly online, even when they're not looking for it. It's a lot more common. And there are some other concerns that you know, others have expressed about what lessons or what messages about sexuality young people might be getting. And I think that's the element that might be concerning, is that when young people are still forming their ideas about sexuality, if the majority of what they're seeing is a staged production of sex, something that's, you know, quite falsified, then that's not really going to be a good model for them in terms of how they would then negotiate their own sexual encounters.
Mm. So perhaps to counter the influence of porn, perhaps there needs to be a very clever social marketing campaign, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that would be one thing that would be really important in this area. I mean, I think we do need to have conversations with young people, but also the broader society, about what consent means and how that works and how we do it. And, you know, there are lots of ways to do that, and the law has done some work around that, and certainly we're beginning to see sexuality education take consent a little bit more seriously. But that other layer really is, I think, about a more public education campaign about the fact that sex is complicated and consent is something that can never be assumed, that it does actually have to be negotiated and it has to be actively given. And I think we're not really engaging with a conversation about that at the moment.
And there was an ad campaign prepared along these lines, wasn't there, which we never got to see?
Yeah, that's right. It's a great scandal that one of the major information campaigns that was being developed by the former government around at the federal level around respectful relationships didn't actually get off the ground, and of course was replaced by the Australia Says No to Violence Against Women campaign that people might be familiar with. But I think certainly what young people have spoken to me about is that the idea of the just say no, or, you know, you must not be violent, most people kind of have a sense that physical violence is not acceptable. But what they're looking for is a bit more information about what do we do, what do we actually want, what do we want in our sexual encounters, how do we actually do it, what does it mean to have respect, to have an ethical, consensual encounter. So it would be great to see an information campaign that's focused more on that positive aspect of how you actually do consent in practice.
And should all this be pitched at a younger age? I mean, is it the case that there's more sexual activity at a younger age than, say, 30 years ago?
Yeah, that is the case to some extent. I mean, I think sometimes we get the impression in the media, particularly that young people are having sex at a very young age. From the research that I looked at, certainly in Australia and internationally, I think the age of first sexual intercourse is still around 16. But that does sort of say that we do need to be having conversations with young people before that, so that they are prepared, you know, to negotiate their sexual encounters both safely and also consensually.
And you canvassed the issue of sexting, which is sending provocative messages or photos by mobile phone. That's pretty commonplace in teenagers' lives now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So we're beginning to see, of course, that as technology is incorporated into all of our daily lives, certainly for young people, they've increasingly growing up in a situation where technology is just part of their lives. It's often taken for granted that, you know, that they just use technology to communicate and to interact socially. I suppose for me, what I find concerning about some of the debates around sexting is that once again, we seem to be saying, oh, well, young women just shouldn't be sending these messages, you know, just say no, don't send the message. And to me, I think that's not necessarily the full picture here. I think really what we should be concerned about is when that message has been sent on by someone to everyone that they know, you know, when it was a message that was intended to be kept private. And that sending on of the message outside of the private consensual encounter in the first instance really is the aspect of the issue that I think we need to be very concerned about, and we need to take seriously as a form of harm, as a form of violence to the original sender.
Because you think young people should feel free to express themselves and, you know, about their sexuality and their feelings, and not be completely controlled by adults.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think we do need to, of course, be careful about making sure that young people are having positive experiences and that they're not under any sorts of forms of abuse or exploitation. I think that's really important. And we certainly have legislative frameworks around that. But I think we also need to be careful. We know, for instance, with the former debates around abstinence campaigns, that telling young people not to have sex, just don't do it, doesn't work. They're still going to be engaging in their sexuality and experimenting. So we need to be a little bit realistic. And instead of saying, just don't do it, maybe what we need to do is provide young people with the opportunity to have a conversation about how to do things safely, how to do things ethically, how to make sure that consent is always in the picture.
Thanks, Anastasia.
Thank you.
That's really interesting. Anastasia Powell is a lecturer in sociology at the School of Social Sciences at La Trobe University. Her book is called Sex, Power and Consent, Youth Culture and the Unwritten Rules. It's published by Cambridge. And there's a lot of food for thought in what she was saying. If you'd like to comment, go to our webpage. And if you're a younger listener, we'd particularly like to hear what you think, how you've experienced sexual pressure, or perhaps you feel quite comfortable negotiating sex. Coming up, is the grass always greener on the other side?